right, take your Bibles out. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. Brother Joe, did you drop your teeth? Colossians chapter 2. We're going to read a verse in Colossians 2. And then we're going to turn to one other verse in the book of Colossians. And then we'll pray, and then I'll preach to you. I'm not going to make any promises, but I really believe we'll be done by 7. I said I believe. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse number 10. Colossians 2:10, and let's read this all together in unison. As soon as the pages stop here. All right, Colossians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ready? And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. Take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Let's read this one together in unison. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12. Ready? Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. And let's pray. Father, we need you. Lord, just a simple truth, but one that could revolutionize our lives. Lord, too many people look for the big things. And it's not the big things that change people's lives, it's the little things. Just the small little change, like the adjustment on a sight on a bow or a gun, just a little click here, a little click there, and bring everything into focus and get it right where it needs to be. And that's how your word is. May we make an adjustment tonight. Help us to pay attention, please. In Jesus' name, amen. The word complete is only used 3 times in the Bible. Twice here in the book of Colossians. Once, I believe, don't hold me to this, but I'm pretty sure it's in the book of Leviticus, I believe. If not, it's one of, it's either Leviticus or Deuteronomy. And it's in reference to the completion of the tabernacle. So, the word complete is only used 3 times in the Bible. People don't seem to complete things anymore. People can do 1 or 2 things, but they don't seem to be complete or what we would call well-rounded people anymore. There was a day when people could go out and driveway and work on their car. The lawnmower broke down, they could work on the lawnmower. The wife's gadget broke in the kitchen and you could work on it. Now they don't even make parts for it because you're supposed to throw it away and buy a new one. Everything's gone to plastic. We live in a disposable world, and they'd rather buy a new one than fix the old one. People don't have a well-roundedness about them. The word complete has that connotation of being well-rounded. It's whole. It's able to do many different things. Everyone is a specialist. You know, if your nose hurts, you got to go to an ENT. If your tooth hurts, you got to go to this DDT. And then if your toe hurts, you got to go to a foot doctor. What happened to the general practitioner? And by the way, I'm thankful for specialists. Don't get me wrong. But it seems like in every area of life, you got a specialist. You go to McDonald's and you got the guy that can do the French fryer. Then you get, well, supposed to be able to do it. Then you got the person that can flip the burgers. And then you got the kid that does the pickles, the ketchup, and the onions, and that's all he knows how to do. And they pass it down, and the other one does the other 3 or 4 things that go on there. And everybody's a specialist. They can do 1 thing, maybe 2. But there's not the general. Our society, I could say, almost is incomplete. Many marriages, many homes, many friendships, and even our walk with God generally is not very complete. The farther away we get from the Bible, and the farther we get away from Christ, the less complete we are. Because my Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and Colossians chapter 4 that we are complete in Him.
That's good.
We are to be complete in Him. You see, the fussing, the feuding, the yelling, the insecurity in our homes is in direct relationship to our incompleteness in Christ. I'm not a big fan of the non-denominational, what would Jesus do here? It's not a matter of what would Jesus do, what did God say? But may I say this, if we would act more like what God said we do, we sure would be a lot better than we are right now in every situation. Well, I just have a short fuse. Your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just park it next to the lighter. It's always lit. You see, our godless homes, even for Christians, is why our homes and our lives are incomplete. Please don't get mad at me, but Christian homes aren't supposed to be filled with all the anger, the rage, the yelling, the screaming, the hollering, the slamming of things, and everybody all upset. And can tell you something, now, that doesn't mean every once in a while you ain't got to cut loose, because you got kids to rear, and every once in a while you got to get in the grill and get into it, get it over with, and get it done. Got it. That shouldn't be a daily occurrence. You don't usually have to yell at anybody. I rarely raise my voice. I really do. Now, the dog knows when she's in trouble. Yeah. That's about as loud as I get. Or if it's 4:30 in the morning. Yeah. Outside. You say, why? She knows what that means. Or she's now getting to the point of, that's all I got to do. And she's getting pretty good at that. She understands that noise means, I better get back to where I should be. I want myself to be a complete Christian. I'd like to be a complete person. I'd like us to have a complete church.
Yes, sir.
I want you to have a complete marriage like I would like to have a complete marriage. I'd like you to have a complete home. I'd like to have one. it's funny. There's three giant stacks of lumber outside of where my house is. I took a picture of it and sent it to some folks and said, there's my house, some assembly required. Brother Mike says, you better get somebody else to help you with that one. Now, I'd like to have, though, a complete home. I'd like life in general to be complete. I'll be honest with you, I'd like to have a complete walk with God. I'd like it to be when I talk to God that I actually know He's listening. I don't have to wonder. By the way, you never have to wonder He's listening. Brother Hiles used to say it this way, I'd like to be so close to God that when I say, Dear Lord, He says, what you need, Jack? Now, he said, I let God call me Jack, not Brother Hiles. Now, can I tell you something? I'd like for you to enjoy that kind of relationships in life in general. People today, as a whole, don't know how to be complete. You see, we humans are sinners.
Yes.
We really are. We often then base how we think and how we act, listen to this, by what we see, what we want, or how we feel.
That's right.
We base so much of our life on what we think we see, what we want, or how we feel. And sometimes you have to put those things aside because even what you see isn't what you see.
That's right.
Watch the news, and what you see isn't normally what's reality. Say, well, I saw this. Yeah, but you didn't see the whole thing. You saw what the news media wanted you to see of it. So that they could take their little clip and do what they wanted to do to try to twist everybody's thinking and get everybody upset for an agenda. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
You see, because we're sinful, well, I just feel this way. Did you know your feelings can be misguided?
Yeah.
You know how many days I get up and I don't feel good, but I get up and do it anyway?
That's right.
Doesn't take me long, I'm starting to feel better. 4 o'clock this morning, I really didn't feel like getting up. But I got up. I was glad I did. Got to walk with the Lord. Got to have a good day, good morning. Man, it was raining dogs and cats and raccoons and possums and everything else was coming down. I was looking for the guy with the boat to open the door to let everybody in. And I even sent a text out to a bunch of people today and said, it might be soggy and rainy outside, but let's let the S-O-N shine in today.
Amen.
You say, why? Because I decided I wasn't going to let the weather affect how I feel. You see, we let the dark clouds affect how we feel. Don't get mad at me. If this is you, it's okay. I need to go home and eat this as comfort food. Good night. Comfort food's anything you can poke down the pie hole. It doesn't matter. Food doesn't comfort me. You say, what comforts you? The Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and my wife. Most of the time. unless I'm the reason she's not comforted. You see, none of the things that what we want, what we feel, and what we see are not based on the Word of God. Because of this, we live lives that are incomplete, and they're incomplete due to sin and our lack of seeing it as Christ. How would you like to have been one of Jesus' brothers or sisters growing up at home? Mary and Joseph knew Jesus was sinless. And when they asked the kids who did it, and everybody pointed to Jesus, and he said, it was that one. They knew who to believe. You don't believe us. You don't trust us. You don't know what your brother is. Can you imagine how tough that would have been? And yet one of Jesus' brothers was James, a preacher. You see, our culture, and stay with me for a moment here. I'm going to hone in on something real tight here. And some of you may not understand some of my terminology medically here, or however you want to term it, but just hang in there. Our culture is based as an ADD society. Flashing lights stimulate impulse to do things as you see or as you want. You bounce from thing to thing, and nothing is done completely. People that have attention deficit have a hard time focusing on more than one thing at a time, and they can't focus, and they go from this to that to this to that. They're like a BB bouncing around in a steel cage. And that's how our society is. We go from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to thing to, I mean, we're just all over the place. And the computers, the cell phones, and all the video games and things, that only makes it worse.
Yes.
The flashing lights. My daughter had petit mal seizures. I've learned a lot about epilepsy and seizures. People don't realize a fluorescent light is a strobe light. People with seizures are prone to not being able to be in fluorescent lighting because it can bring on a seizure, especially if it's going bad and there starts to become a flicker to it. There are some people that have seizures that are triggered that way so badly that sunrise and sunset, they're not allowed to travel in a car because as they're driving down the road and the sun's coming through the trees, it has a strobe effect. And they're not allowed to drive a vehicle at those times. You say, why? Because the flashing lights affect the brain. You say, well, it doesn't affect me. It affects you more than you know.
That's right.
It's one reason I'm not a high-tech person. I don't want to get so relying upon that I become the part of the ADD-type mentality in our world. We want to entertain everybody versus talk to their brains. You ought to have been around Brother Hiles. Now, I'm not against folks jotting notes down while I preach. I don't think it's sinful. Now, if you were around Brother Hiles, it was sinful. He would look at you and say, I don't want to talk to your pen and paper. I want to talk to your brain. Look at me. I know you're listening, but I can see your eyeballs. I don't want to talk to the top of your head. Look at me. And I've heard him say that thousands of times. We'd sit on the platform, and I'd pull the 3x5 card out when he's not looking. Put it back in my pocket. He didn't mind you jotting something, but don't let him catch you with your head down and your pen. And number one, he would say, I don't know what you're writing. He said, you could be writing love notes to your boyfriend or girlfriend. I don't know what you're writing. Look at me. And he had a point, but that was in a generation also that understood how to listen. Our generation doesn't understand how to listen. And again, taking notes is not sinful. I will tell you this, if you would listen more intently, I could teach you more than you could get by putting it on paper, because you're writing down and I'm already on the next thought.
Amen.
Now, listen to me very carefully here. Because of this, we don't have a complete society. We have to have our heads and our hands being busy. Fidget spinners. We have to have squeeze balls so that a child could listen in school. Well, I hate to tell you, when I was in school, if you had anything more than a pen and a piece of paper in your hand, this teacher was on it like snot on a booger, let me tell you. I can hold your attention one way or the other. I kept them so busy writing notes, they didn't have time to fidget. See, the trouble is most people don't know how to teach and aren't teaching information. Average instruction in the public schools per class is less than 10 minutes a day per class. The other 35 to 40 minutes is all sit at your seat and do your work. And then you go to the next class. That is average. When I taught history in the Christian school, I didn't even pass out history books. They wrote their own history book. My students at the end of the year had somewhere between 120 and 130 pages of handwritten notes. And they wrote their own book. I'll promise you one thing. Talk to them 10 years later about world history, U.S. history, geography, government, other things that I taught in those classes. They understood what they got. You see, computers, cell phones have replaced doing things by hand or in person. Texting and email has replaced person-to-person calls. Look how many times you have miscommunicated with somebody because somebody hit a capital letter or hit all caps, and you misread it and got your feelings all hurt.
Oh,
yell
at me.
Yeah. I have never had a word yell at me.
Nah, me neither. It's amazing.
You know, you say, well, that's what that... Again, we are so affected by it that we don't understand. Yeah. Throw the stupid thing away. That's etiquette. You see, we get all upset because people don't know how to interact with people. We've advanced so far that we don't know how to work with people unless it's to complain or gripe. The only time you ever talk to a person is when you're complaining, usually. Other than that, you're doing things by text, email, Facebook, whatever. According to the Bible, Jesus completes. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Say, well, who's him? For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. Who's that? The Godhead bodily. Who is the Godhead bodily? Jesus. You see, that means that life without Christ is incomplete. If Jesus completes life, then life without Christ is incomplete. Do you know this lost world is incomplete? We're the complete ones.
Amen.
They call us weird. They're the three-legged ones, not us.
Amen.
They're not complete. This means growing up in church, growing up with the Bible, knowing truth and morality, living by standards according to God is being complete. Growing up without that is incomplete.
That's right.
Amen. Those of you that grow up in church and have grown up in church, can I tell you something? You have a complete life. I love this statement. My dad's going to laugh at this one. I used to get flack from people that said, well, you're just sheltering your children. What are your children going to do when they get out in the real world? Well, got one that's a preacher. Got one that's an officer in the prison right now. Got another one that's a senior in Bible college wanting to be a Christian school teacher. Didn't do too bad. My daughter called me the other night, and she was all excited. They want to train her to be a fork truck driver at the place where she's working. They already been there 2 weeks, and they want to move her up. I said, you better be careful. Let's talk about that one. I don't need you out there driving a fork truck. But, Dad, I said, I know, but that's not a girl's job. Not for a year of college, and then you're done. Just trust me on this. I said, I don't know who you're going to be interacting with all over the plant that way. Oh, I didn't think about that. Just trust your daddy on this one. I know you're excited because they like how you work, but run the department you're in and don't worry about it, all right? Now, wait a minute. Some of the very people that told me your kids are too sheltered, they're not going to be able to make it in the real world. Their kids are drug addicts, sodomites, and living like a bunch of animals. And my kids were too sheltered from the world. Everybody doing all right?
Everybody?
Young people, listen to me. You don't have to go out to the incomplete world to be complete.
Amen.
You live according to this right there, and you'll live a complete life.
Right.
You know, I'm not worried about AIDS.
Amen.
I'm not worried about weird diseases getting passed around. I'm not worried about cirrhosis of the liver. Not worried about cancer in the lungs and cancer of the mouth from tobacco. Say why? Because I've lived a complete life. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Man, this is good stuff. Growing up in booze, drugs, anti-God education, living for money is incomplete.
Yes.
Can I tell you something? My kids, I didn't allow my kids to be influenced by the incompleteness of the half-baked, dim-witted, letting them decide for themselves, taste all the filth of the world crowd.
Right.
Do you know you don't have to get drunk to realize drinking's stupid?
Right.
Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise.
Amen.
Go downtown Martinsburg and watch the guy laying in his barf tonight because he drank so much he's laying in his own vomit all passed out. Oh, that's real good. Pick up those little bus kids who their daddy came home last night at 2 o'clock in the morning from the bar and beat mama up and took all the money and they don't have anything in the house because dad drank it all.
Or he's not there at all.
That's it. I refuse to believe that the lost, anti-God, humanistic people are smarter than God. After 6 days of creation, creating the world and the earth, God's work was complete and it was good. Genesis chapter 1. God didn't start it and let evolution finish it. When God does something, he completes it.
Amen.
Now, we're getting closer to where we're headed here. God does not have a garage or a basement or even a closet full of unfinished projects. Duck and hide on that one. Can you say kaboom? Preacher doesn't have a basement, a garage, or a closet that is full. I don't even have one. Now, wait a minute. We as Christians don't need to feel incomplete to the lost world. The lost world is headed for hell incompletely. We are headed for heaven completely.
Amen.
You see, I don't need booze and drugs and fornication and wild rock music and parties, social networking to be complete.
Amen.
The only thing the world is complete at is being complete fools and idiots.
Amen.
The world wants to hug trees and save the whales while murdering babies in abortion.
Preach.
The world wants to tax farmers for cow farts, pardon me, and yet they don't know which bathroom to use.
That's right. Amen. Makes a lot of sense.
You think I'm kidding? There are states in our country that are taxing farmers because of the methane expelled by cattle.
California.
Some of you would have high taxes. I knew what you were thinking. It was coming. Yeah. Oh, man. Good night. Maryland had a rain tax. They were taxing the rain that fell on your property. No. For years, they paid a rain tax. Can I tell you something? Our world is messed up. And they call us messed up? They walk around with purple hair, yellow hair, green hair. It's all going every which way. They look like they got in a fight with a pop rivet gun. They got tattoos from head to toe. And they look at you like you're weird. Why do we want to look at those lost fools and say they have a more complete life than we do? Well, they got a bigger bank account. Does that make you complete? They got a bigger house, a nicer car. Does that make you complete? My Bible says we are complete in Him. Now, let me give you three or four things, and we'll go to the house. Number one, the word before I get to number one, complete means to level up, to finish, to accomplish, to fill up, or to supply. Complete means it's all the way around done. It is not just getting the house painted, it's getting all the trim done, all the cleanup done, all the paint off the windows, and having a complete job. It's not just slapping things up saying, well, got her done to where we can use it. No, it's to be complete. It's getting all of the projects complete that are associated with it. So, number one, salvation is complete. I love this. I'm about to shout. When God does something, He doesn't make it incomplete. That means you cannot lose your salvation.
Amen.
When you get saved, you are saved to the uttermost, and it is complete salvation.
Yes.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Now, this is why Jesus authored and finished the plan of salvation. Hebrews chapter 11. He is the author and the finisher of our faith.
That's good.
He authored it, but He also finished it. If you've never written a publication before, a book, I'm not talking about a 3-page paper for school. I'm talking hundreds of pages and all the proofreading and all the editing and all the things that go with it. When you get done, it's a sense of accomplishment. I've put one book out, have no desire to do more, but got people begging me to do some more. And one of these days, it may be fine time for it, but there's not time right now. And I'm not done with what they want me to write about anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Amen.
See, Jesus not just authored it, He finished it. He wrote it and then said, I'll do it, now you do it. He didn't just put it down on paper, He actually did what He said. So He completed it. Jesus, like all of God, completes everything He does. May I say this? That's why I call them wrong doctrine preachers. Well, you got to repent to get saved. They don't preach the word repent biblically. They say you got to turn from all your sins. You can't turn from all your sins because you're a sinner.
That's right.
Well, you got to be sorrowful enough to not sin anymore. Tell that to the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter sinned, cussed, swore. He denied Jesus, dropped out of the ministry. And yet 45, 50 days later, he's preaching Pentecost. See, it's not a matter of sorrow. There's no sorrow meter. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Now, repenting means this. You go from trusting your own works and your own way to trusting Jesus Christ. The act of salvation is the act of repentance. I don't care how sorry for your sin you are, you can be a sorry sinner and still die and go to hell. If you're trusting how sorrowful you are, that is a work. That's something that you do. Everybody doing okay? Well, you have to make Jesus Lord of your life. Jesus is Lord whether you make him Lord of your life or not. He doesn't need you to make him Lord. He is Lord. That comes after salvation. It's not a prerequisite for salvation. That means those things have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is complete. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How sincere does somebody have to be? Sincere enough to realize they're a sinner on their way to hell, and they'll trust Jesus Christ to take them to heaven. Say, well, how sincere is that? Sincere enough to do it?
That's right. Amen.
It's not my job to judge it. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
I had the stupid Christian radio station on locally recently. Every time I listen to that thing, I get angry. Unless Brother Roloff's on. From 10:30 to 10:45, Brother Roloff's on there. He and I have a party if I'm in my truck. Past that, I get angry. I heard some yard bird on there this week. He was talking about seeking counsel. Who do you seek counsel from? Well, first of all, you have to be sincere to seek counsel. Now we got motives involved in this thing. And then you got to find somebody that's going to sincerely tell you the truth. Well, if they're not doing something biblically, I can see why you're doing that. This is psychology. And everything was motive-based. And I thought to myself, Brother Mike, I've talked to some of that person's church members. No wonder they're confused as a termite and a yo-yo. We want to judge everybody's motive to sound spiritual. Can I tell you something? Your motive doesn't matter. Brother Hiles used to say it this way. Folks, you're obligated by God to tithe. God said he loves a cheerful giver, but I'll take any old grouch and I'll give it. It's not the attitude, it's the obedience. That is a true statement. He said it in a humorous way, but may I say this, obedience is obedience. Doesn't matter what the attitude is. If you'll obey long enough, you'll get the right attitude. Everybody doing all right? I've got to hurry here. Number two, the Bible is complete. The Bible is the complete words of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but watch this, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There has to be an every word Bible or somewhere, or man cannot live. That is the King James Bible.
Amen.
It's not a good version. It's not a reliable version. It is the Word of God for the English-speaking people.
Amen.
End of discussion. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. I've worded it just right. God does not speak audibly now because we have all of the audible words of God that we need. God does not speak in dreams and visions because we have the audibly written words of God. Oh, I saw a 900-foot Jesus. Oral Roberts didn't see anything. He had bad pizza before he went to bed. Well, I had a dream, and what does this dream mean? Did you know that those ended because of the printing of the Word of God and the completion of the Word of God? All of that was over with by the writing of the Scripture. God did speak audibly in days of old. That's how they got the Bible. God did speak in dreams and visions because he was helping people write the Bible. He was speaking to them audibly. Now listen to this. We have the complete Word of God. He doesn't speak audibly. Well, I had a dream that I heard God's voice. Wrong answer. No lie. I could show you the text. I won't do it. I had somebody text me this week. I had a dream that my grandmother beat me with a pillow. What does that mean?
Oh, man.
You say, what was your answer, preacher? I didn't respond other than, a few words. I said, God does not speak in dreams.
Amen.
I said, it means you must have done something wrong to Grandma and she whooped you. We want to take having a dream as something spiritual. That's man wanting to play God. God doesn't speak in signs and wonders. Say why? Here he spoke it. There it is.
Amen.
We don't need anything but what's in here.
Amen.
We wanna try to spiritualize things. Well, we don't need newer versions. We need to read and obey the original one.
That's right.
By the way, you don't change the Word of God because Jesus is the Word of God. And when we start changing it, we start changing Jesus. By the way, every one of the new versions change salvation. They take the blood out. They change words. They change the meanings of words. They change everything about it. And they pervert the scriptures. And may I say something? We have the complete Word of God. Just keep reading it.
Amen.
It's good. Number three, I'll hurry. The devil messes with the world to cast doubt on the Bible and Jesus because he doesn't want you complete. Say, preacher, then why are there so many Bibles out there? Because the devil wants them out there to cast doubt on the Word of God.
Right.
Why are there so many different churches and religions out there so that the devil can cast doubt on the truth? The devil tempted man in the garden for man to not be complete in God, but for man to complete himself. You don't need God to tell you what's right and wrong. You could be your own God, choosing good and evil.
Yeah.
That brought sin. And because it brought sin, sin brought death. And because we now have sin and we now have death, this brought also a curse on the earth. It brought curse on the man, and it brought a curse on the woman. Okay, everybody look at me. I love you. I think we ought to be as healthy as we can be. But what you call health food is corrupted by the sin and the curse on earth. It's no healthier than anything else. Hate to disappoint you. You can take an aspirin, or you can take something organic. It all came from the earth. Everybody's worried about plastic straws in San Francisco that it'll not decompose. Where did they get the product, the plastic from? The earth. It was there. That's where we pulled it out of. Did you know they've been using steel and iron and metal for thousands and thousands of years? They knew how to mine for it. It didn't just lay on top of the ground.
Nope.
Can I tell you something? The earth is cursed. Most of what people take as health food supplements are nothing but a result of the curse on the earth. Weeds.
Right.
Most of your supplements are made out of weeds. That only came because of sin. And may I say this, healthy people die too. You're not going to live forever. Now, I think you ought to live as healthy as you can, and some of those things help people, some of those don't help people. I'm not criticizing either side, just so you know. If you take an aspirin or if you take a bottle of vinegar, I don't give a flip. I really don't. You can drink the vinegar, you can take the aspirin. It doesn't bother me. Now, yeah. You can do that barley green junk that looks like it's been sifted through a cow and put in a glass. You can drink all that you want. Don't give it to me. I'm not drinking it. You can drink pond water and eat tree bark. Go for it. I'm not doing it. Now, you say, well, you shouldn't eat the way you eat. You're going to die too. I'll die happy. You die happy. Don't complain about me. I won't complain about you. But may I say this, the earth was cursed.
That's right.
That means all of the vegetables you grow in your garden are cursed because they came out of the earth.
They're organic.
Yeah. Your organic chickens are no more organic than any other chicken. Yeah. I don't need help. Life without Christ is never complete. Now, wait a minute. Because we're sinners, we push Christ, we push the Holy Spirit, we push the Bible away from us, and we become our own God. You get in the most trouble when you decide you're going to be God. Let me show you what I mean. When your spouse says something or does something you don't agree with, and you get in the flesh and react. Ouch. Then you want to play God. Well, I'm the husband. I'm the dad. I'm the parent. Yeah. And you want a dress to pin it on. Who's God? What does God say? Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, hath forgiven you. That's why people go from sin to sin to sin to sin to sin to sin. And we think we're holy Joe because we went to church three times this week. This is why things often get worse and worse and worse and worse. I often tell people, before you read a child-rearing book, make sure that the person who wrote the book reared children that turned out.
Right.
I know people that have written books on good marriages that have had three of them.
Wow.
You know, you ought to do a little bit of research first. Well, I read this really good book, and I'm thinking, yeah, do you know who that person is? My sentiments exactly. That is why the world is more and more confused by the day. It cracks me up. Save the whales. Save the seals. One of my favorite moments in life. They rescued two seals in Washington State with the oil spill years ago. They spent $500,000 to nurse back two seals. They had a big party. They were going to release the seals. They had the media there. They let the seals, and everybody's applauding. There's hundreds of people there. The seals jump off the dock into the water. They swam out about 100 yards, and two orcas came up and swallowed them whole. $500,000 breakfast. Here we go. One bite each. Welcome to nature. Now, I'm for not being cruel to animals, but may I say this? Those are the same people that say they'll protest for a woman's right to murder babies in the womb. Something's messed up. Something's really messed up. This is why each individual needs to walk with God and have a complete walk with God. Amen. Listen to this very carefully. I'm for families praying together, reading the Bible together. But may I say this, every individual in your home needs time alone with God every day.
Amen.
Not while you're bothering them.
Yeah.
I taught my children to walk with God by themselves. You don't walk with God in a group. You walk with God individually. Everybody reserves the right to read their Bible and pray for a time by themselves. That's more important than you being God, playing God, praying and doing everything for Him. Sorry, the pulpit was crooked there. I had to fix it. Did you know that your homes need to be a place where people can walk with God? Now, I don't believe it ought to be a place where you spend 6 hours a day by yourself, away from your family, just to do it. But I think that there ought to be a time where everybody has time by themselves in that. This will work in your home. This will work in your marriage. Did you know that you can walk with God at work?
Amen.
I used to take my Bible to the public school every day when I went to public school. Guess what? When I started working in the world, I took my Bible to work, too.
Amen.
We had a little group of guys at the machine shop where I worked in college that there's two or three of us from the Bible college at work there, and then the rest of the shift was all worldly guys, but we had won most of them to Christ. Every Wednesday night, we missed church because we were working. But they let us preach in the break room during lunch break. We'd let them know we were getting ready to preach. We had church at work. We got permission from the boss all the way down. They didn't have to stay. We let them know what was going on. But you know what? We watched guys get saved. Amen. We watched the attitude in the shop change. Did you know Christ is the completer and man is the destroyer? Let us human beings by ourselves, we'll destroy it all. This is why we need to learn to forgive and not hold bitterness or repeat to protect ourselves. Can I tell you something? Complete forgiveness. When God forgave you, He forgave you of everything, past, present, and future. We're supposed to forgive each other that way.
Amen.
We're not supposed to hang on to bitterness. Well, you don't know what this person said back in 1973. No, I don't. I was 6 years old. No comments from the peanut gallery. Mrs. Barnes. Or Scott. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what somebody said. If your feelings are still hurt about it, you never forgave them, and you're harboring sin, and you're bitter, and you need to get right with God. I don't care who it was. Well, you don't know how this preacher hurt me. No, I don't. But may I say this, they're sinners too. No nail prints. This preacher's going to say something hurt your feelings someday. Don't worry. If I haven't already, I will. I'm not looking back there. I should say I'm not looking up there. You know, we need to learn to forgive. By the way, you need to learn to forgive yourself. Why is it we're good at forgiving everybody but ourselves? And we want to hold everything against ourselves, and then we hold ourselves back because we don't forgive ourselves. You need to learn to say, okay, it's under the blood, it's past. It's over. And just as God forgave it, and by the way, forgiveness is for the offender, or for the offended, not for the offender. So if you offended yourself by how you live, forgive yourself and go forward. If somebody else came to you, would you forgive them? Well, look in the mirror, forgive yourself, and go forward. It's that simple. You say, preacher, how do you do that? You look in the mirror and say, you blew it. Forgive yourself. I forgive you. Okay, now don't do that again. I'm going to try not to. I've chewed myself out more than once, let me tell you. Can I tell you something? I'm not going to let mistakes from the past and even sins from the past hold me back. Well, you don't know how bad it was. Guess what? If it's under the blood, God doesn't remember what it was. Why do you? You're playing the devil. You keep bringing it up. You want to have a complete life? Number one, realize that salvation is complete. Number two, that the Bible is complete. Number three, that the devil is messing with everything to keep everybody from being complete. Love for you to have a complete home. Complete marriage. Complete life. Complete Christian life. Complete walk with God. It takes all these components and you are complete in Him. About the time you're about ready to say what you really think, why don't you stop and say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? I promise, 2 minutes and I'm done. I was in Indiana. I had a security guard call me at the church there, and he said, there's a man here that needs help. Will you help him? You're one of the only guys here. I said, sure, send him up. This guy was a sodomite. I won him to Christ. He struggled. Oh, he struggled. Brother Joe, you've met him. You know exactly who I'm talking about. I handed him a Bible. And I said, tell you what, Doc. Every time you have the desire to go to one of those filthy places or be with one of those filthy people, care where you're at, sit down, open up this Bible, and read it for 5 minutes. And then pray and say, God, what should I do? I got reports all over from hey, you know that sodomite you led to the Lord? Saw him sitting on the side of the road the other day reading his Bible. I mean, report after report after report after report. He came back and he brought me a whole stack of cards to these filthy places and everything else. He said, I got to get rid of these. So we threw them away. He'd read his Bible. He'd get tempted and he'd read his Bible. And he'd get tempted and he'd read his Bible. I said, look, the devil hates that book so much, he'll even take the filthy desires you have away. And then he came to church and brought somebody to church, won him to Christ, and walked him down the aisle. When I left, he had 7 converts down the aisle. Now, I have no idea where he's at or what he's doing today, but can I tell you something? Before you pop off and do something, how about you read that? And then say, Lord, how should I respond? Rather than responding in the flesh, let's respond with completeness, not incompleteness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know the need that you have in your life, but I know the sermon will touch your life.